Let's read over in the book of Jeremiah, second chapter. The other day I got up in the, what they call the Father's house to the third floor, and I'd sat down. There wasn't but two people up there, and I thought maybe I'd just slip in there and sit down and at the teacher's desk and just relax a little and exchange conversation. But when I got there, I found a couple of hungry hearts and started to comment, and then before I realized it, the spirit of revelation began to speak. And I don't know how long, I stayed for a long, long time. And it was continually speaking as to the deep mysteries of God, as to the comings of the end time. And I could tell that things was being made known, but as I talked, I suddenly become aware that the whole room had filled up and they were standing in the hall also. And I don't know how it is that they do that, but when the Lord starts moving, they can be out on the front, they can be anywhere, but somehow he leads them to that place. Someone said they were standing out in front of the building and heard me talking, and I thought I was talking real low up on the third floor. But anyway, the Lord continued to speak until we walked down out of the building. He was still speaking, and then we walked out near the wrecked car that Danny had his wreck in. He was still speaking real loud and very clear, to the extent that some's eyes filled with tears, and things were said and made known that has never been made known to man's hearts nor ears. Their ears have never heard these things before, never in the history of mankind. Whereas the Bible says that God hath made known to us things that many great men longed to see and was not able to see, and to understand, to know, were not given the privilege of it. The things, if they were recorded on tape, as two times like that, they would do nothing less than astound the entire world. But somehow the Lord don't suffer them to be on tape. The numbers of times that we've did that over the nighttime or whatever, he's never suffered those things to be recorded on tape. We go through things here and we have a few minutes to try to expound, wrestling with spirits and minds until we get things pretty well in line, and then there is a little bit that gets on tape of these things that we say. Somehow those things never seem to get taped. And the only lodging place they have is the human heart. And it might be that we would say some things to a group of people over here, and some things to another group of people over there, and some things to another group of brethren over at another place. And out of those things that are said, possibly, there might be, I don't know whether I could say a fifth of those things are recorded in the human hearts. If I ask for them back, if I ask for somebody to tell me back, I doubt seriously if there would be a fifth of those things that would be recorded that would come back. But still at the same time, different ones glean and different ones do pick up a few things here and there. And as much as they do, there's a lodging place for a few things. But I look as the Spirit of God is speaking, and I hear the wonderful things that he's saying and see those wonderful things, and I marvel because I know that the brethren are listening. I know that they're listening. But I also know that many of them understand very, very little of all of those things that's coming forth. And yet being able to see beyond the veil and see the things that are said and understand them, it's nothing less than staggering. It's astounding. As I say, just that one little session, if that had been put on tape, just that one session had been put on tape and played around the world to all humanity, the ones that could have understood it would have done nothing less than shake the entire world. It was that powerful, it was that deep, it was that great, it was that mighty. And course, the brethren that picked up something, the different ones that picked up something, they knew it was great and mighty, even as to what they recorded and what they saw. But like I say, those things are in my heart. I see them. I know them. They've been given to me. And it would take a mountain of strength to be able to convey them to you as to days. It would take days, many weeks, and many months in continual speaking to be able to get those things over to you. Moses stayed 80 days. That's a long time. Didn't have time to eat or do anything. Just listen. Record. Just some of the things that God gave him under the law, which is fragmental compared to the things that God has given into the heart as to the revelation to the sons of God. And it would take so long that it would take a mountain of strength. And it would take the same as to the listener. Patience, long, long suffering and patience. And very keen, alert listening to be able to get into those things. But it's the greatest thing. I've been made to know in my lifetime most everything, as from the foundation of the world clear through to the consummation of the world. I've been made to know most everything as to the stride of mankind, as to the historical way of man, as to his past, his present, his future. And they really don't amount to very much. It's not even worth bothering with. It's all just, it's a great and a mighty thing as to human interest, as to the need for being stable through life or the establishment of the government and the world and the things that they're in. But really, it don't amount to nothing. And then I've been made to know the wonderful mind of God that reaches from everlasting to everlasting. And from the beginning of the creation over to the consummation or end of the creation, to the beginning of time and to the end of time. And it is so staggering, it is so astounding, it is so unbelievable that a human heart could record this or relate to this, or that God would make this known to a human being. It is unbelievable. It is fantastic. There is no human word as to vocabulary expression that can tell how astounding this is. And yet, it's been given to mankind. One of the things that staggered the people was when Jesus did the things that he did, and the Bible said they marveled that such wisdom and power was given unto a man. But yet it was so. Even in the days of Solomon, whose wisdom had no comparison to the wisdom that is given as to the revelation. And yet, it was so staggering it shook the world. And through that wisdom, even of that level, Solomon conquered the entire world, ruled the entire world. Now the Queen of Sheba came from her country where she ruled. She came to see Solomon. She'd heard of his fame and his great wisdom. And she came to meet him and brought him many great, great gifts, expensive gifts. And she listened at him talk and she said, I've heard of your fame and I've heard of your wisdom. She said, but the half has never yet been told. And now a greater than Solomon is here. So then when we think of this, I wish that it was possible that these things could just come out of my heart and be put on tape where everybody could hear them. But that's just not possible. We do have I don't know, maybe 1,000 tapes. How many tapes? 2,000 tapes. We've got perhaps 2,000 sermons where I've preached concerning a little bit of this and fragmentally express it. And then there are hundreds of sermons perhaps that's never been put on tape. There's many sermons that was never recorded. And then there are hours upon hours upon hours, sometimes a 5-hour session, sometimes a 7-hour session, sometimes a 2-hour session, and this has been over a period of many years. And that, of course, has never been recorded and put on tape. And as I said, this session that we had just a few days ago over here in school, when was it? Day before yesterday, was it? Can't remember. Yesterday, maybe it was. Was it yesterday? Yesterday. And of course, that's not on tape. But I thank God for the privilege of being here and having a chance to talk to you and say what we can to you, and for the interest of those that are listening and those that really care as to being concerned. I thank God for you because I know you're my children, you're my people. And it's like a man, you know, he has a big family. Betty and I, about 8 children in the family. We have a big family. You have a big family. Sometimes they used to have 15, 18 in the family. And having a big family, the life of that father and mother is not fully in one child, but as to a measure of their nature and characteristics, it's found in each one of those children, and as a whole, they make up the life of dad and mother as to the extent that it's given. And that's the way it is with the children of God. As the life goes forth from Christ, there is a measure as to you, a measure as to me, as a measure to others, and many hundreds of children of God. Thousands of children of God all have gotten something. One has a measure of that God life, another has a measure of that God life, and all of this one day is going to come together like many pieces of puzzle. And when they come together, it's going to be an astounding thing because they will come together, and when they come together, the full mind of Christ will be made known to you. In the days of Solomon, when he built the house of God, it was that they could not lift up any kind of tool to make a sound in any way. It all had to be very peaceful and very quiet. And there was different ones working in different areas for many miles around. And at the right time as to the erection, each one brought their part of the house of God. No noise, no nothing. All the noise was somewhere else, and then they brought it and peacefully fitted it together, that the spirit of peace as a dove might reside in that house, that God may come and fill his temple. That's why the Bible said, be still and know that I'm God. Study to be quiet. Whereas the church is just the opposite, is to make a lot of noise. But that's the way it is today. The house of God, many denominations, God has let them split up in splinters everywhere down through the church ages. That this one may hack it out with this fella, and this one may thrash it out with this fella, and that they might have their disputes and their confrontations and all these things until eventually after all of the confrontation, this one has finally hewed out their part. And with all of the problems, this one's been cast out, and this one's been taken in, and this one's been, you know, this one has been tutored and whatever. And finally, out of this sect of people, this religious sect of people, this denominational power, comes forth a part of God's house. And then over here in another one comes forth a part of God's house. And then at the right time, whereas we're nearing that time now, all of these begin to come together, leaving all the denominational friction and problems and lightning and thunderings and storms and whatever that's gone on for years. They pull out of it. And then they come, this little group, that little group, and quietly and peacefully as being children of peace, making peace, they all begin to come together. And then one day they'll all fit together, just quietly and perfectly in love. And all of them will bond themselves together with that mortar of charity. And there won't be any fuss and friction and all this gossiping and backbiting. All those things will be gone. And they'll just quietly, peacefully fit themselves together. And the house of God will be there. And as it was in the days of Solomon, the Bible said in the train, his train filled the temple. Once they come together like this, it'll be such a great, mighty structure as to God's building that the power and the Spirit of God shall just come down and literally fill the building, because there won't be any carnal resistance as to problems. So it's wonderful to be a preacher. It's wonderful to be a Christian. It's wonderful to be informed with these things from heaven. No matter what I tell you as an individual, not to tell you anything, Paul said, that you would think of me more highly than what I am, because I'm just an individual. I'm just a man. I'm just a helper of your faith. And no matter what I could say, it wouldn't change that, because that's what I am. But at the same time, what I have been given in my heart, and what I know concerning God, and this wonderful thing is to the revelation of Jesus Christ. First of all, I wouldn't take one revelation, just one revelation as to the knowledge of God. I wouldn't take it and trade it for the entire world, for the entire universe. One revelation with all the gold and silver and diamonds and wealth and prestige and majesty, whatever it is, I wouldn't trade one tiny revelation that I've received for all of it, lock, stock, and barrel. And yet Judas sold out for 30 pieces of silver, and some people sell out for a cigarette or a little dope or any little thing, you know, any little frivolous thing. Maybe it ain't nothing but a TV show. Maybe it ain't nothing but a conglomeration of a mess in their minds as to their thoughts, as to their passions, as to their desires, whatever it might be, as to their ego, you know, and they sell out. They lose out like that. But when I think of these things, I have to think of it like this. See, I have to think of it as God, because it is God. And I have to think of it as what he hath given, because he hath given. No man can receive anything except it be given him of God. See, I cannot think of it as a man, that I have these things and possess these things as a man. I can't think of it like that, because as it was with Paul, he said there was given a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet him, lest he be exalted beyond measure. And that is to be exalted beyond measure, as to the people would have exalted him beyond measure, as it was with Jesus in trying to make Jesus their king. Or if this had been turned in the direction of denominationalism or in the direction of the celebrities as to the rulers and powers of majesties and magistrates, there would have been no end as to what I could have excelled in, as to money, to people to bow down at the feet. So you don't think of it like that. And there is given unto me a messenger of the devil to buffet me, the same way it was with Paul. Paul said, I besought the Lord that he would move this a number of times. And the Lord said, my grace is sufficient, Paul. When I received this, I didn't think that there'd be anything to bother me. But I found out that it's the same yesterday, today, and forever with God. And there is constantly demon spirits that trouble me, that aggravate me, that never leave. As it was with Jesus, we say never leave. The Bible said that Satan departed from him for a little season. there is a constant riffraff, a constant pressure, a constant annoying, day and night, everywhere. If it isn't from the police, it is from false brethren. Paul said, I was in peril of false brethren. Or it is people from over the seas in the other world or country. Or it is something all the time. It never ceases, day or night. And it always is my problem or my pressure. Always is a torture or would be a torment unto me if God would allow it. It never stops. It's in my own radius as to wife and children, my own relatives, my own friends, my own brethren, as in the Lord, and in every way, physically, mentally, spiritually, financially, there's not a stone left unturned. And when I say that, perhaps you might take it lightly, but I can tell you it's no little thing. It's no light thing. I don't profess to be one that's able to carry it or to bear it. It's Christ. Whatever it is, as to any accomplishment, as to any perseverance or continuation, it is Christ. And I would have gone down many years ago. And it is Christ that meets the needs when it comes to financial pressures. Day after day, they're never unmet. Never. God always meets them. I guess I'm facing probably at least $50,000 now, I would think. I would think at the very least $50,000. That is imperative that I have right away. That is considered the $27,000 or $28,000 that David spoke of. And then Sister Betty reminded me again, today I believe she said of $11,000, it's 28 plus 11. And that is not, believe it, it doesn't sound real. That is not paying any bills. Is it paying any bills, Brother Taylor? As far as I know, it's not paying any bills. So then money is needed for the bills. And as so far as I know, that's not giving us anything as to travel on. Is that right? Doesn't allow us anything as to our land fare or whatever. However, our earth flight, it's taken care of, isn't it? Everyone that's going, they've already taken care of their flight. Ours is taken care of. As I told you, God would work a miracle. And I know that people appreciate this Word of God. I found out that any time that we go to make a trip, never fails that at that very time it looks like practically everything comes up. I mean, in terms of thousands of dollars, where we not only have to meet the trip by faith, but we have to meet multiplied thousands of dollars at the same time. It seems like it never fails. It's just like things can be as clear as the noonday, but just as sure as we're going to make a trip, it happens. And God always meets it. I know that you appreciate the message. I know you love the Lord. And people appreciate it that you would never think appreciated it. It's like Albert Floyd was talking to me today. And Albert says, Brother Pike, I want you to know one thing. He said, I respect and appreciate the message that you preach. He said, and he was grateful that his family had been tutored under this message. So a lot of times, you know, you think one way and you wonder about a person because they're not affiliated with us, or perhaps they don't come to church here, or whatever it might be. But still, at the same time, they greatly respect this. But to get on with my thought here, Satan is still there to buffet. That evil spirit that aggravated Paul, it's still there. I got word today, as a matter of fact, I heard today now they've hired a private investigator. is going to come out and investigate the church. I had a vision where a man with an ugly disposition came up in my face. Great big fella, and came up in my face, and he was as ugly as he could be in his spirit and disposition. Whereas it came to pass, just exactly the way I saw it. Vision after vision is constantly coming to pass. I had another vision, and in this vision there was an authority that came that was very, very unreasonable. You couldn't reason with him. And his determination was to do one thing, and that was to do anything he could to get me in jail. And as I saw it, and he'll be coming around, you can be sure. And of course, since then I heard that they got this private investigator that may be him. So you may meet somebody that's so interested in the church that it'll just be striking for you to talk to him and tell him about everything. And of course, I've got false brothers and sisters that this is always an opportunity when the press has come and the authorities come and that everyone come. They have, it's as though they got their tongue tied in the middle and loose at both ends. And they're so unwise in what they say, and they say anything to get my feet in the fire. And then they seek this opportunity to try to tear down little Bethlehem because they're false brethren and sisters to start with. And they'll say anything they can to pile up something. And the world out there is, it's like somebody uses the term nitpicking. They're looking for anything, and it don't matter what you say, they can stretch it like bubble gum. And they take some little something you say and something somebody else says, and they put it together, and then they publish it in the paper, or they take it to court, or whatever. You know, it's just almost as if you sneeze out of order today, it's a court order. And that sounds strange, but I just said that to show you how foolish things really are. The law has become a condition of foolishness. It literally has become a condition of foolishness. It's not a law anymore. It's a bunch of foolishness. They have put so many things in the law as to say you can't do this and you can't do that and you can't do and you can't do and you can't do and you can't do. Until it's like the law of Moses. By the time Jesus came, they took the law that God had given, and they had so many things concerning pots and pans and the old wives' fable and traditions of the elders until the people were just completely in prison. It was impossible to abide by. And of course, if you'll go back, you'll find out in history that the law of today comes from the law of Moses. Maybe that's astounding to you, but it comes from there. Check it out. That's where it comes from. It's the same law. And they've got to where it is everything that is oppressing the people to death. It's driving the youth clear out of their minds and the parents too. And all of it is just one thing, and that's a money gimmick to see how much money they can get. And they're arrogant and they won't listen and they're just aggravating. The law used to be an aid to people. It was a fine thing. A real law, it protects the people. But corruption. Solomon said, I looked, and in the place of judgment there was corruption. The corruption is in our law as to the places of judgment. You would be staggered if you just stop and consider it as to Bethlehem. Just the ones that come to Bethlehem, how many of them they put in jail? And some over the most frivolous things. Even tonight, the ones that are sitting here. If I got the ones to stand up that's been in prison, would you do that? I just want to show you something here. Stand up. Everybody that's been in jail or that they've come against or in prison or whatever, and I'm standing up here too. They put me in jail because I spoke back to the judge in that I had a hole in my muffler. And you've heard the story on it. All right, don't sit down. Don't sit down. Stand up. I want these people to look. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21. Yeah, you didn't know he got in jail too, did you? Praise God. Let's give the Lord a hand. Hallelujah. You can be seated. I think there was another that was up there that I didn't see him. That makes another one. Because I think they put David in jail before. I don't think they've ever got Chuck or Bill yet. But anyway, that might be the brightness of their future. Oh, there's nothing bright about it other than the fact that the apostles and the early church did suffer. I'm just telling you something. Not only have they done this, but there are numbers of others right now that they're waiting to put in jail. It has to do with this. Can you imagine that? Now, if they've done that many here, just think about in the era of Monroe. I've got numbers of them out of jail that wasn't even concerning our people. Just do something to get somebody out of jail. You understand what I'm saying? See, don't you know that's craziness? That's unreal. Did you know they're having to release, as far as I know, about 3,000 people? Because they ain't got room for them in jail. So now instead of putting them in jail, they're having to take them out of jail. Which is an answer to my prayer. I've been praying for a year or so, or more. A number of years now. Praying, God, let them out of jail. Let them out of jail. So they started letting them out of jail, coming home on the weekends, giving them vacations. And now about 3,000 they're putting out. I said, Lord, for God's sake, get them out of prison. I said, if it's something that of hardened criminals, I understand that you got to deal with them. But all of this nitpicking stuff, I want you to fix it to where they'll have to put them out of jail. And folks, they're putting them out of jail. That shows that God answers prayer. And if we'll continue to pray, we'll defeat the thing. Somebody said, well, they might put you back in jail. I don't doubt that a bit. I've had some visions, and I don't doubt that a bit. You know, but still, God's on the throne, you know. Even if they put me in jail, or you in jail, or whoever in jail, God is still on the throne. That don't change a thing. That don't change his plan, and that don't change his program. All right. The angel came down and took Peter. And you remember when the angel came down and Paul was over in jail? And the angel came down and he took that prison and he shook that thing till them doors flew open like they had springs on them. Paul didn't run off. The prisoners didn't run off. And these people got scared and they run down there and said, Paul, we're not going to hold you any longer. He said, we decided we're going to let you go. He said, no. He said, I want the big wheels to come down. I want them in the upper echelon. They're the ones that's responsible. So I want them to come right here and tell me I'm free. And he wouldn't leave till they come. Now, Paul could have cared less about that, but what he wanted to do was testify to him. Let's give the Lord a hand. He saw a chance, and he wouldn't miss it. All right, so all of these things we see coming to pass because it is the end time. So don't be afraid, don't be dismayed, don't be tore up. All these things have to come to pass. The Bible said, and before the end of time, they'll deliver you up. They'll do this. See, and it's like the government. You take the government as nothing but just a mass of corruption. Good government is wonderful people. And in the days of Washington and Lincoln, or our early forefathers, our mothers, the frontier women, they were great, wonderful women. They were ladies. And they established a great government, a great society. You've heard me say that many times. See, but now it's just, as we say again, the nitpicking thing. You know, they pass a law that you've got to have a little number to stick on your car on the back of it. And then they pass a law you got to stick another little number on the front of it. And then they pass a law that you got to have insurance. And they pass a law that you got to have this. And it's on and on. It's always a dollar, another dollar. Stick a number on your trailer, whatever. They're going to get another dollar. Taxes on your land, whatever. It's like Cindy's little poem that she wrote the other day. A penny for this and a penny for that. And a penny and a penny and a penny. She said, when they get through, you ain't got a penny left. So they do this to meet the national indebtedness. And as soon as they put you under a constraint and take everything they can from you, it appears that they're about to meet the national indebtedness. And so all the statesmen decide that they want to raise. Whereas right now they got something going in the White House with a whole slew of them supposed to get a raise. It's making multiplied thousands of dollars a year doing nothing. and now they're wanting a raise, and it looks like they're going to get it. Whereas many of them that's connected with the government is exempt from the tax situation. They don't have to pay it. About the time that they get everything to where they can meet it, then they tax you again, and they have to sit and dream up something else, whereas they spend their time just doing that, so that they can try to meet the national budget again, because they done run it up and run it up and run it up, giving pay raises and everything else, till it's just, it's one big hassle. And they're going to keep on oppressing the people until they're going to have a national revolt. As a matter of fact, it's going to become an international revolt. But here in the United States, where they've not had a lot of that, except in groups, it's going to happen. People's nerves are going to start breaking down on them. They're going to lose their mental stability. And they see the people seize upon their children, put them in prison over and over, no feeling, and seize upon their automobiles and their homes, their land, and everything that they've got, seizing upon it to take it away from them. The people are finally going to group together and unionize together, and it won't be an individualized thing. And they're going to revolt and go slap crazy and begin to kill statesmen and everybody else. You'll see it come to pass. It's already happened numbers of times down in South America. It was down there in Bolivia having a revival or a crusade down there. It happened down there. A continual revolt. See, it's got to happen. Because they are not after your money altogether. They are after you. It's Satan that is after you. And he is in every way continuing to bring the pressure and to give you this or to tax you with this until he can seize upon you and have complete control of you to where you are enslaved just to serve him. And he will allow you the privilege of eating and drinking to keep your strength up so that you can continue to serve him day and night. And he will be your master and your ruler. And all that you do, you'll just turn it over to him. Now, this is what God asks you to do for him and for his sake, is to give your life a complete sacrifice. Whereas if you had done that, you would have reaped all the benefits of everything, because his was for your benefit to get the infiltration out of you that you could redeem all that you had lost. But you wouldn't do that as a people, and I say that to those that hear me. See, so going after the things of the world, you've been ensnared, and now you're going to receive a master that's going to be a hard taskmaster that will imprison you in every way and enslave you in every way, like Pharaoh did the children of Israel down in Egypt. And you'll never have any peace day or night in this world, nor in the world to come. So it's a real sad situation, and that's what it's leading up to. David was talking about the man that predicted that the end of the world's going to come either this year or next year or some year, which I believe he's right. I really do. It's got to come sometime, and I'm not mocking. It's for sure that if he keeps going year after year, he's bound to hit 1 year sooner or later. But I can tell you that the man is never going to hit it so far as his dates and all these kind of things. It isn't going to come like that. See, the Bible said, and the day of the Lord shall so come as a thief in the night, and no man shall know that day nor that hour of his coming. And he shall so come as a thief in the night, which means that you and I need to be ready. We'll know as children of light when it's nigh even at the door. So Paul said, don't be terrified or moved by these things as someone saying that the day of the Lord is at hand. For you know very well that it shall be as a thief in the night, and when you least expect it, the end will come. And in an hour that ye think not. Now, if he has the answer, then it would be in an hour that you would think so. But in an hour that ye think not, then shall the Son of Man come. And as a snare shall it come upon all of them, including that man, all of them that dwell on the earth. You love the Lord? Ain't you glad that you don't dwell on the earth? Let's give the Lord a hand. Where are they that dwell in heaven? The Bible said, rejoice ye that dwell in heaven. So, it's a wonderful thing to know where we're going and what we're doing and how that we should look at a situation so that we're not carried about by every wind of doctrine as to the slyness and craftiness of mankind. I don't know why I'm just talking to you. I've got up here to read a little bit to you, but maybe I'm just supposed to talk to you a little bit. Maybe that's one of them tonight. We're still trying to do our little bit for the Lord. Do you mind me doing this? We're trying to do our little bit for the Lord, and we're trying to get ready for us to go overseas. And I guess sometimes, like tonight, the Lord wants me to talk with you. This is the way I usually talk with the brethren when the anointing of God comes and they get quiet and get really interested in the things of the Lord and they're not wanting to go anywhere. It's not like church. Satan pressures the church. You know, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, 45 minutes and shift, shift, move, move, go, get, can't stay. Just like this all the time. I don't know why it's like that. I don't watch like that, but you got to confess that's the way it is with you. You know, I got to go, got to eat, it's getting late, need to sleep, got to get up tomorrow. You know, and you don't get nothing because God just don't come. He don't bother you. He just lets you shift, turn, just move around until the service is over. That's what he does. He exhorts you a little bit and just lets you shift about until finally it's over and then you go home. But it is a true fact. When I'm sitting and talking to the brethren, they will hardly budge. They're sitting there like they are glued to them seats and just staring at me and listening. They are so attentive until I'm shocked. See, but in the church, it's not that way. And in the church, you're not getting it. I mean, let's confess it. You're not getting it. You know you're not getting it. But some of those brethren that are around are getting it. And it was the same way in the days of Jesus. In the gatherings, they did not get it. It was a reproof. It was a correction. They did not get it. But when he got alone with his disciples, they got it. And they even asked the question, why is it that you speak to them people different from what you speak to us? Or that is, why is it that you speak to them people in parables, seeing that they understand not what you say? He said, because it's not given unto them to understand the mysteries of the kingdom of God. He said, but unto you it's given. So when he spoke to them without the veil. A congregation is to an environment that will be, they'll be all settled down, you know, and they'll be listening and the revelation will begin to speak. That's very rare. Well, anyway, this is what I'm trying to tell you. I try to talk with you a lot of times just to try to get you to understand. See, we're not going to get anything from God unless we're pure in heart. We're not going to do it. And folks, numbers of you that are listening to me are not pure in heart. You know you're not pure in heart. I keep telling you, you're not pure in heart. And not only that, you'll never be pure in heart. And only the pure in heart shall see God. And that's why I preach to you over and over, holiness, holiness, always. But I know that you're not pure in heart. I talk with you, I meet you, I see you, I pick up your spirit, and I know for sure that you're not pure in heart. I know that you're good listeners. I know that. And I also know, whereas the Bible said, if the love of the world's in you, the love of the Father's not there. I know that many of you, you're not holiness unto the Lord. You know, we put this little sign out here, holiness unto the Lord. If you cannot be holiness unto the Lord, you cannot be anything unto the Lord. Did you know that? If you cannot be holiness unto the Lord, you cannot be anything unto the Lord. Did you know that was the one thing about Israel that God loved? At one time, they were holiness unto the Lord, dedicated people. And even when Aaron went in to the place of the holies of holies, on the little mitre on his head here, he had to have holiness unto the Lord. And Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. When the millennium comes, I tell you again, that there will be holiness unto the Lord, even on the pots and pans and on the horse's bridle. See, but you are not holiness unto the Lord, because you do not esteem the God of holiness. He is the Spirit of holiness, and the Bible said, "Be holy, for I'm holy." And without holiness, no man's going to see the Lord. And to be holy in body and in spirit. See, and you're not holiness unto the Lord because you've got the love of the world in you. And you've got the ambition of projecting your own human person. That's your ambition in life. And when men walk before women, they lust after them. And women walk before men and they lust after them. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. And I see this daily in my own home. I see this daily on the campground. I see this daily in the lives of people. I see it daily in the lives of ministers and of deacons and of leaders that occupy offices, both men and women. I see this daily in the life of married men and daily in the life of married women. The Bible says that after God has fed you to the full, then you neigh like a horse after your neighbor's wife. He said, "Will I not visit for these things, saith the Lord? Let every man have his own wife to avoid fornication." And yet this generation is an adulterous generation, a sinful generation, that are continually dressing in such a way, doing in such a way, that they lust one after another. I marvel on the campground how that sometimes some of the lady folks will go by. I marvel at them. And I'll turn like that and notice one of them's coming by, and they just run, you know, like that. And that's supposed to be holiness unto the Lord, you know. They run by and I pick up the spirit and I think, you are up to lust slapped up to your neck. You know. And then I see another one come by, and they'll come by, when they go by like this, they'll frown up by like that. And then I'll catch their spirit and I'll think, no one could have a more whorish spirit than you've got. You know, and just as quick as they're out of your presence, or quick as they've gone away, see, they feel like the minister might discern it. So they try to run past. That spirit tries to run past. Or they try to frown it out, you know. Or anything. When it's very simple as to holiness unto the Lord, the Bible said, let your men be grave, not gigglers all the time with the lady folks. You know, let them be grave. And it's simple. It says, let your women be shamefaced. You don't have to run, and you don't have to cover up your face, and you don't have to frown it off. And you don't have to be a hypocrite. You just be a simple, down-to-earth person. And you don't have to lust after them all the time, of each other. You don't have to do that. You can be a decent, clean, godly, pure, upright sister that presents yourself right and have a pure heart. And as the Bible said, the men are to love the sisters with all godly pureness of heart as a true sister in God, and she likewise as a brother. You know, you don't have to go through all of these hypocritical stages of life. You don't have to be a quaint, peculiar type person that's strange as to walk around making everybody think that you're spiritual and you're discerning, you know, and you're some kind of prophet. You don't have to do that. You don't have to do that. You don't have to hypocrite your life away. You can just be a simple, down-to-earth, clean-minded, holy person. For the Bible said, charity thinketh no evil. Folks, it's no hassle. It's no hassle. It's a hassle to be a hypocrite. So that's why I say what I do to you. He that overcometh is going to eat of the hidden manna. He that overcometh. And that means he, as to the inner you, the spiritual inner man. When he, that is, whether he's in a she or whatever, that is Christ in you, the hope of glory, when he overcomes your outer person, your outer human being, to where every thought is brought into subjection to him, that you meditate in his laws day and night. And that your interest, as I said, is not in money, it's not in business, it's not in eating, it's not in drinking, it's not in frolic, it's not in the frivolous things of life, but your interest is altogether in him. Altogether. And when you sell all you've got out to him, whether it be your life, whether it be your soul, whether it be your finance, whether it be your talent, skill, whatever it is, when you give it entirely unto him, then you'll be holiness unto the Lord. And that's when you will be clean and holy with an upright heart. I tell you again, the Bible said the eyes of the Lord are throughout the earth, beholding the good and the evil, and the Lord going to and fro in the earth to find the upright in heart, that he may show himself strong in the behalf of the upright in heart. I was talking today about somebody, and I'd like to say we're certainly glad to have Marie and the children here in service tonight. Betty had talked with them over the phone, and I just happened to notice that she's here tonight. I think she come up from Florida. Been gone quite a while. I was just talking to Sister Betty today, and some of the brethren today. And I was just going down the line with some things concerning people. And I said, do you realize that this individual and this individual and this individual and this individual and right on down the line came here hardly making a living? Some of them came here, they didn't even have a job. I remember one brother that came here, I challenged him just to come out here and help me. He didn't even have a job and had more than that, numbers of brethren. And God made great, mighty men out of them and gave them finance that was unreal and made them like young princes. And they went on doing some things for God for X amount of months. And then after that, they got the feeling they had good incomes, that they were well taken care of, that they had gift to God, and they were backsliding more and more. All the time now, doing this, giving and whatever, backsliding, not giving as unto the Lord. They started giving as unto the Lord. And then when the Lord blessed them, they got into a routine of giving so that God would give back to them. And the more they give, the more they got. And to have prosperity. And they backslid in doing it. And eventually had good incomes. And when they did, they decided they were just going to drop the brethren of the church. Drop the church. Drop everything. Lay it aside. Go do their own thing. Go their own way. And get their little natural family. And get off over here somewhere, wherever it would be. And group up. And forget about God, and they went down like you stuck a pin in a balloon. All of them. It wasn't one of them. Somebody said, who was that? It wasn't one of them. I went down the line with my wife today and some of the others, and I named them. Family after family after family after family that's blowed apart. Not only here, but over in Mississippi and other places where we've been, where God tremendously blessed them, raised them up and gave them many multiplied $1,000. So, I said that to say this. A lot of times people get the idea that they're carrying the church. And they decide, this man said, I want something for myself. So they withdraw. Like a man said, I'm going to get away from here. I won't never have nothing. He doesn't know that I know he said that. And he's gone, and he made the statement, said, if I come back to church, I'll never give like a one-time did. And he can be sure he won't. Because when he got away from here, he thought he was going to have something. But he had nothing. He went clear to the bottom, and it was the brethren that lifted him up and helped him. And it's for sure that when he comes back, he won't give like he one time did. Because what I understand of God, God is never going to give to him again like he one time did. So that he'll have to give. So it's for sure that there won't be no days like that. He don't have to worry about that. See, but I'm telling you something, folks. This is what has happened to many of you. God has blessed you. And then you got interested in your car, your land, your house, your own thing. Or just coming to church to get the benefits, to try to, I'll get that revelation. I'm going to live on the campground. I'll get me a place on the campground. I'm going to do this. And here's another thing. Some of them have come in, different ones, that was God is blessing them, is making a lot of money. And then they start giving to God. And then all of a sudden, they give littler and littler. And some have said, why is that like that? They said, well, I just can't make the money I one time did. And it's like I told my wife, I said, would you like for me to tell you why they can't make the money? I said, because they don't have the interest in making the money. I said, when they bought cars and houses and land and spent and eat and drink and frolic, they had a great interest. The flesh had a great interest. And Satan stimulated them because he savors the things that be of the flesh. I said, when they turned to God, the satanic stimulation left as to hunger and thirst after the things of the world to buy and sell. I said, and they lost their interest in trying to get money to give. Let's give the Lord a hand. I know that don't set well, but I'm telling you the way it is. In the world, they got a little saying. They said, tell it like it is. I'm telling you like it is. I know that don't set well with you. I know it don't. I feel a brother's spirit right here to my left. Been doing real good. But when I said that, he got out of bounds. He got out of bounds. But it's true. It's exactly the truth. You don't make it because you don't have the desire to do for God the way you had a desire to do for yourself. That's what it is. Every man running to his own house, letting the house of the Lord lay waste. See, that's what it's all about. And some of you are so blinded and gotten out in such a way until you don't even understand that. You don't realize what the devil has done to you. But you're going to wake up one day. Like I was telling my wife, some person that lives close by, God had feathered their nest. I asked God to do it, and he did. And he gave them home. He gave them everything they wanted. And Brother Pike was the sweetest kind of fella. And the things that were said about Brother Pike were so lovely. And Brother Pike was just so-so. But when I spoke to my wife and I said, he's going down and lose what he's got, and the judgments of God are going to strike. He started down a little bit, and the money went away, and he gave word that he'd close this place down. Let's give the Lord a hand. I'm telling you the way it is, folks. I'm telling you the way it is. See, that's how selfish and rude people are. That's hard to believe. That's hard to believe. We come here to band together to do something for the Lord. I say again, many people homesteaded on me. And today they're altogether unprofitable to the Lord Jesus. Which means that they shorten their lives. They're not going to settle down, feather their nest. They're not going to do that. I'm telling you, I'm your preacher. I'm your minister. See, they are not going to settle down and feather their nest. They're going to lose their health. They're going to lose their wealth. The Bible said it is the Lord thy God that giveth thee the power to get wealth. Not the world. It is the Lord thy God. You get in the world, the Bible said you'll be cut off in the midst of your days. In the end you'll be a fool. But if you would see good days and long life, the blessings of God, keep your tongue from evil. Keep your heart right. Stay in tune with the preacher. He that believes my prophets shall prosper. Confess your sins, forsake them. And the Bible said, whatsoever you do shall prosper. Cover your sins, and the Bible said, you shall not prosper. All right, I'm going to close in a few minutes, but I want to say just a few more things. So then, you can see where the problem is. See, this is an individual thing. Every individual has to face the situation, and they have to come before God for this reason. Like I say to you a lot of times, we confess our sins, and somebody will say, Brother Pike, don't you think God will forgive me for my wrongs? I've done wrong. I say, sure, sure. They say, well, praise God, don't ever have to worry about it anymore. I said, no, it isn't like that. I said, you got to pay for it. Oh, they said, if he forgive me of my sins and I don't have to pay for them. Yes, I said, you got to pay for them. He forgive you of your sins. And you are not going to have to worry about those sins so far as keeping you out of heaven. I said, but because of your wrong, be not deceived. For God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And so then you planted a field, and you're going to reap it in this life if you are a Christian. If you are not a Christian, you will not reap it in this life. You don't have to worry. The Bible said if you're without chastisement, then are you bastards. All sons are chastened. Every son that cometh to him, he scourges. This proves your sonship. So then, it is the unconfessed sin of man. He doesn't have to pay for that as to them that are not right with God, because that goes to the judgment after that he arrives. Or that is, he goes first. He goes first. And then they are judged according to that, and all those sins, they're unforgiven. And it takes a man to hell. But you confess yours, and they go before you to the judgment, and the Lord judges you in mercy. And when you get there, your chastening is over. So then, in your reaping, it is a chastening. In their reaping, it is the judgment unto damnation. So, I say these things because as your preacher, as your pastor, I want you to understand what is right and what is wrong, and understand what God is going to do and what he will not do. And there are certain things he cannot do. There are certain things that God cannot do. There's no need of you looking at it any other way. There are certain things that are impossible to God. Even God, it is impossible to God. There are certain things. I know we as people, you know, we think, as the Bible said, and nothing shall be impossible unto God. But what we have to do is differentiate properly. For the Bible emphatically states that it is impossible for God to lie. God cannot lie. Another thing, it is impossible for God to sin. It is impossible for God to misjudge anything. It is impossible for God to ever be mistaken or make a mistake in anything. So there are things that are impossible to God. All right. So then in this, a few more things that come to mind. They slipped my mind there. Things I would like to have related to you because they affect your everyday living. And it's imperative that you know and understand these kind of things to be successful in life. Let's look at it like it is. The child is known by his doings. No matter what you try to make it look like, when it gets right down to it, if a man gives, he's a giving child. If he prays, he's a praying child. If he is subtle, he's a subtle child. And if he's lustful, he's a lustful child. And if he's a gossiper, he's a gossiping child. If he's a fault finder, he's a fault finding child. If he's ignorant, he's an ignorant child. And whatever he does, that's what he is. So don't try to make anything else out of it. It's like I was telling somebody just recently. I said, if you want to have stability of mind and be successful in life, accept things as they are. Don't try to frustrate your mind and fuddle up your mind by saying, well, he didn't mean to do it, or she didn't mean to do it, or it isn't like that at all. Because what they did, that's the way it is. That's exactly the way it is. What they did, that's exactly what kind of person they are. It is a true fact that a good man or a good woman may stumble and fall. The Bible said a good man may fall 7 times, but he'll get back up. He won't become a habitual thing as to a practice of doing evil. You know, you might say something wrong sometimes. You might think something wrong sometimes. You might make a mistake sometimes. But that's what the blood atonement is for, to keep you perfect in God's sight, because you're his child. And that was not as to a conscience of sin or a desire of sin. That was something that you could not help. I know it's cooling off a little. I'm going to let you go in a few minutes. So, this is where you are. This is where you are. When you do wrong, you got to pay for it. And these are the little foxes that spoil your vines, that keep you from the knowledge of God and this great, wonderful world of eternal treasure. I'd love to see every one of you have it. Jesus said, "It's not my will that any should perish, but all should come to repentance and have everlasting life." And he said, "You come to repentance, you can have everlasting life." He said, "Even the wicked, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked." He'd still rather have repentance. So just because you're covered by the blood as to grace, as it was with Jesus in the days of Jesus, as to Judas having grace by that blood shed before the world was, as to the lamb slain before the world ever was, a lot of you have that blood covering to that extent. The whole world does, but it'll soon be over. Soon be over. They've turned the grace of God into lasciviousness, and now it's going to live, and they're going to be judged accordingly. It was Bill's little lady back here, about 13 years old, I believe she is, had a vision the other night, and as to the dedication here, what it was, and the ultimatum of it was that I was told that she saw me telling the brethren, said, Now, the change of the body is here. It's here. Now it's here. You don't have to worry anymore. It's here. And believe it or not, that's exactly what I was telling the brethren. And the whole thing as to her vision or dream was completely accurate right down the line is the things that was told concerning the whole thing. And of course, I'm not detailing. I told you it was there at the car when I was telling you these things as the Spirit of God was speaking. And I was telling you to show you the condition of the people. I was telling you there, tremendous things was taking place, unbelievable things. And yet people stood there as blind as a bat. They never did, and their eyes of understanding said. Why, some was picking up a little something and they were just literally having themselves. I mean, tears was filling their eyes, were just moving slap out of this world with it. I said, brethren, in spite of all of this, and you're listening, I said, there's people right here that's listening that will go off and start gossiping, saying things, and turn this thing to pieces with that Judas spirit. I just got word today, was it, that while I was in there praying for a man, I've been praying for him, Lord, please don't let him come to any harm. Please deliver him. Please save him. Please help him. While I was doing that, he was over here talking to one of my workers and trying his best to discourage my worker to leave and not be around here, and asking him as to what profit it was. And as to point out that others had been here and done that, it was no profit to them. You can't imagine it. But the same individual was standing right there when these mighty things was taking place and when I said that it would happen. Let's give the Lord a hand. That's the kind of condition that their mind is in. You know what that is? It's the carnal mind of death. To be carnally minded is death. That's their own thinking. See, that's not God thinking. It's not Christ thinking. That's their own human reasoning as to their own understanding. Leaning to their own understanding in the Bible, so they'll die because of that. That's death. That means they're void of the Spirit. They've never had that new birth. They've never been born again. Can you imagine that? Who was that? There's numbers of them like that. Numbers of them. And it'll always be that way. But that isn't going to change God's plan. It isn't going to change God's salvation. It isn't going to change the fact that there are in the earth sons of God. And I'm not going to try to get into nothing as to revelation, but I'm going to say this one thing, and this is revelation as to this much. And you remember this, that before the world ever was, you was chosen in God as sons and daughters of the Lord. And ye are the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, members in particular, bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. You are predestinated unto righteousness through his own love and work as to an eternal Godship after the order of Melchizedek to rule and reign forever. But as children, you differ nothing from a servant, though you be Lord of all, until the time appointed of the Father. But that time is getting nearer and nearer. And the astounding thing as to the proof of who you are, what you are, and as to the ability to differentiate among the people, as to distinguish the sonship or the daughters of the Lord. There'll be one way, and that is this mind of understanding will come into you as to whatever measure you allow it to come in, as to show you a member of that body. This mind, let this mind be in you, is also in Christ Jesus, who, being made in the image of God, thought it not robbery to think as to make himself equal with God. And this mind is going to come into you to give you that equality. And as to the faith of that mind is to perfectness, for it's perfected forever them that are sanctified, having sanctified them once and for all by the offering up of the body of the Lord Jesus at Calvary. And this mind is going to come into you. And as it comes into you, it's going to begin to show a little at a time. A little at a time. See, and that is going to be the proof of your sonship, not as to some good thing that you've done, nor as to your skill and ability, or that you are above another, or that you fasted your way into it. It won't be that at all. It's strictly by him, as Judas was given a place and went to his place before he was ever born, so was Esau before they were ever born. Before Judas was born, it was said, let another his bishop take. Before Esau was ever born, it said, let the elder serve the younger. It has nothing to do with you and your ability. Someone would say, all of my fasting, you mean I don't get anything out of it? Israel fasted. God wouldn't listen. Someone said, well, why do I fast? It's because God hath made you what you are. And there's a calling in your life, if it is a God thing. And it's just Christ showing forth as to the preparation of you as to what he hath preordained you to be. Nothing of your own. So, I'm just saying that this will show forth in your life, and it's on the verge of doing that. And then everybody will come and kneel at your feet and know that he's loved you, because God will be in his temple, whose temples ye are. As to your Godship, and all the world will know then that they are nothing but beasts, and that the sons and daughters of God have been in the midst of them all the time, but the Lord had not revealed it. As the little story we told about the two girls, as to who is the adopted and who is the real one. So that means that this is beginning to come into the heart. Christ, that little infant, Christ, Paul said, I travail till Christ be formed within you. It's in there, and we're travailing, we're fighting, we're struggling to try to keep your attention. Not everybody's going to pay attention. Not everybody's going to listen. They come here, they don't pay attention. They sit here. They don't give the more earnest heed to the things they heard. That alone is violation of the faith, as to believe in the word when God said you should do it. Nor do they consider as to how they incorporate this in their life. To give the more earnest heed, or to take heed how they hear. To incorporate it into their life that it might be part of the lifestyle. They don't do that. But some of you will get it. To whomsoever it is given, they will receive it. No one can receive anything except to be given him of God. But this will begin to show, and this little Christ will grow bigger and greater and more mightier. Until after a while, that change will come, or the world will begin to see that you are the eternal ones, that you are the predestinated eternal ones that's always been in the mind of God before the world ever was. And you'll go to your place like Judas went to his place. And your place is the holiest state of Almighty God. has to be the great and mighty people that he hath preordained that ye should be. That's why that the revelation is given to me. Daniel said, and this is not given to me that I should be accounted for as to someone wiser than anybody else. It hath nothing to do with it. It is Christ. It is Christ. And to go around the world and to believe God for the funds to go around the world is not given unto me that I have faith that's different from anybody else. It is God. And I am doing this because he hath made the way. And he is. It's not that I have a special faith and you don't. The Bible said the preparation of man's heart is from God. It is God. All of the glory be to God, because it is God working within you, Paul said, to do of his good pleasure. All right. Let me read this right here. There's just so many more things I feel like I need to say to you, but I've kept you long enough. It's getting cool. You've been a good audience. Chapter 2. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, this is in the book of Jeremiah, go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, thus saith the Lord, I remember thee, the kindness of thy youth, the love of thine espousal, when thou wentest after me in the wilderness in a land that was not sown. Israel was holiness unto the Lord, and the first fruits of his increase. All that devoured him shall offend, evil shall come upon them, saith the Lord. Holiness unto the Lord at that time. He says in the 11th verse, hath a nation changed their gods, which are yet no gods? But my people have changed their glory for that which doth not profit. Be astonished, O ye heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be ye very desolate, saith the Lord. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewn them out cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water. Let's stand together. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He loves you. He wants to help you. He wants to be with you. He would like to do what he can for you. But remember, going to and fro on the earth, looking for the upright in heart. The upright in heart. That he might show himself strong in their behalf. When you say upright in heart, how then can a man be upright? The Bible said God purified his heart by faith. How can we have faith as to what we call confidence? And John said if we do the things that please God, then do we have confidence that he heareth us? And if we know that he heareth us, then we know that we have the petition that we desire of him because we do the things that please him. So then the upright in heart. And then you'll get this message. As to a thorn in the flesh, it's going to be there. As long as you follow me, somebody is going to strike it, Brother Pike. They're never going to stop. And it's going to be as false brethren that will trouble me, and God will trouble them that trouble me. It's going to be as to the law to trouble me, and my people, of course. And it's going to be as to the government to trouble me, as with the IRS or my people. And it's going to be that always Satan's messengers, as the thorn in the flesh, will always buffet. That is to make sure that we don't get out of bounds and think too highly of ourselves and find ourselves always in need of God to help us to keep our composure as a God person in the earth. Not only me, but you. And as the Bible said, it's not just given to us to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, but also to suffer with him. All right, let's sing together. Can we sing together? I appreciate you. I thank God for you. You're my children. Not only naturally, but as one would say, to be his child, but as to say spiritually and eternally, you are my children eternally. Paul said, as a father in the gospel, I've begotten you. And I'm jealous over you with a godly jealousy. And he said, though you have 10,000 instructors, as we would say, you have but one father in the gospel. So I'm jealous over you with a godly jealousy. He said, I would like to present you blameless to God. body, soul, and spirit. Someone would say, well, I'm not your child. I know you're not. I know you're not. I know you're not because you don't hear my voice. But Jesus said, my children know my voice. My sheep know my voice. A stranger they won't follow. So I say what I say to my children. Let's sing together, can we? Again, we sing, I love him. I love him. All because that he first loved me, and he purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Can you sing that with me? The altars are open if you'd like to come. It's a little cool. They can start the blow heaters back so that the children don't take cold. Can you sing it again? I love him. I love him. All because that he first loved me, and he purchased salvation on Calvary's tree. Every promise in the book, it is mine. Every chapter and every line, and we're trusting in the word divine. For every promise in the book, it is mine. For every promise in the book, it is thine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line, and we're trusting in the word divine. For every promise in the book, it is mine. Come unto me, take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. He said, and if you do this, then you will find rest unto your souls. If you would do this, then you would find rest under your soul, because he said all of the paths of God are peace. And he said they that keep their mind stayed upon Christ Jesus shall have perfect peace. And we are called the children of peace, for we make peace. We're not troublemakers. We make peace. Whatever we say in the presence of one another, or whatever we say out of the presence of one another, we are making peace, because we are children of peace. And we do this because we are children of peace. For our Heavenly Father is the Spirit of peace. They sing the song, peace, peace. What a wonderful peace. I want you to lift your hands up with me, and I want to pray for you tonight. I remind you again, the Bible said, and they, whosoever they might be, the ones that the minister blesses, if he's a true minister, he has the power to bless, the power to curse. I know a lot of times the questions are there as to that, and your heart questions that. But you have to remember, the Bible said he is God's minister. He is God's minister. And he beareth not the sword in vain. He's given a sword. And the Bible said he is set there for your good, that if you do good, to bless you. And if you don't do good, he beareth not the sword in vain. For the Bible said he is God's minister to execute judgment upon them that do evil. And whosoever he blesses will be blessed, and whosoever curses will be cursed. And whosoever sins that he remits shall be remitted. And whosoever sins that he retains shall be retained. Whatever is bound on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever is loosed on earth is loosed in heaven. Though you stand in suspicion of me, it's not that way at all, brother. I keep telling you over and over in so many services, you should be ashamed of yourself. You should be ashamed, because if God knows your heart, then you should be ashamed, because you know what you're doing. And someday it's going to be very bad for you, because you will not listen at me. So you stand in suspicion of me, but God doesn't stand in suspicion of me, nor do I stand in suspicion of you. I stand as one that wants to believe in you, trust in you. Though I know the evil things that some of you do, I still stand as one that wants to trust you and believe in you and pray. And as the songwriter again said, he looked beyond my fault and saw my needs. The songwriter again said, who am I? Who am I that a king should die for me? Another songwriter said, and forgive me, O Lord. And he said, remind me, O Lord. And that's what we're trying to do. Again, another songwriter said, how long has it been since you stayed on your knees and prayed till the light broke through? See, how long? We're here to remind you. We're here to help you. We're here to bless you. I want you to lift your hands, close your eyes, believe in Christ. Believe in our prayers. There isn't a one that I'd like to hurt. There isn't a one that I'd like to see go to hell. There isn't a one that I'm against or that I'm trying to find fault with. There's not a one. I want to help you. Lift your hands up and let's pray together. Precious Heavenly Father, we're thankful for your blessings. And upon these people, Lord, whatever they do through life is their own sovereignty. Lord, as they go their way to their homes, to their marriages, to their lives, Lord, to whatever they want to do. But I'm concerned, Father, about their soul and about their eternal destiny. And they've been given into my hands and they've been committed to my charge. And Lord, who am I? As Solomon of old said, to speak to so great a people, even people that are eternal gods, who am I? I'm, as Moses said, Father, I'm not eloquent. And I'm not one of ability. But I believe that you are in my heart. And I believe that you are in this church. And I believe that you're in the lives of these people. And I feel your anointing right now, mightily. Oh, God, I said that. Mightily, Lord. As it surges from my head clear down into my body, throughout my entire body. Oh God, surely, surely thou art here tonight. I pray thee, Heavenly Father, that you will forgive the sins of my people here. Forgive the sins of those that are listening, that hear. And dear God, as I feel this mighty anointing, I pray that you would save their souls, seal them, sweet Father, with that everlasting seal of your presence. And dear God, thou art the healer. By your stripes, you paid the price. Heal these people. I ask you to heal these people, even as my loving Savior, the precious Holy Ghost, ask us, the one, the only one, ask us, that they be healed through the power of the Holy Ghost. As this mighty Holy Ghost that I feel, this Jesus Christ that's resurrected from the dead, Father, as he moves through this little audience tonight, oh God, I pray that he will find a lodging place in the hearts of everyone that's here and everyone that's listening to me. Oh Father, I pray that this great Holy Ghost, this mighty one, Lord, that covers the entire universe, that he'll go with me to the Philippine Islands. Don't send me up to battle as Joshua said, lest your presence go before me, O mighty God, to make me successful in what I try to do for thee. I am but little and less than nothing, Father, least of all. But I love you from my heart. And I'm not trusting in my ability or my righteousness. Lord, I'm fully trusting in you that you'll help me. And my people are trusting in you. And these that go with me, oh God, these are not a profit to me. Lord, to go with me, Father, it would be the other way around. But dear God, it is a profit unto them to be able to go and share with others. And Heavenly Father, you can make them profitable unto me. Father, you can do that as Paul said of old. And this man is profitable unto me. Let them be a profit unto me and profitable unto me, Lord, as I go into the foreign countries. Anoint their hearts and their lives and let them fortify themselves against the evils that they're going to encounter in the foreign countries. And fortify their faith to build up their most holy faith by praying in the Holy Ghost. God grant this, that when they're on the plane and then they're other, in the other places, that diseases won't overtake them and their loved ones. And that we'll have safety as a unit in one mind and one accord, giving him the glory. Bless my people tonight. Father, I lift up my hands over them and to all that's listening that will believe in my prayers, that will seek a pure heart. Lord, wherever this message or these words are heard, I bless these people in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I bless them, and they shall be blessed because I've blessed them in your name, Jesus. I bless them. I ask you to be with them, heal their bodies, watch over their loved ones, and always let them have a desire to come to little Bethlehem and to the house of God to again and again sing praises to your name and to worship you in spirit and in truth and in the spirit of holiness. Let's sing this little chorus together. And we'll give all the glory to Jesus. We'll sing about his love. We'll sing about his love. sing that with me now.
Oh, we'll give all the glory to Jesus. We'll sing about His love. We'll sing about His love. And we'll give all the glory to Jesus and sing of His wonderful love. And we'll give all the glory to Jesus. We'll sing of His love. We'll sing of His love. And we'll give all the glory to Jesus. And we'll sing of His wonderful love.
Let's lift our hands up and close our eyes. I kept you for quite a while tonight. Remember, the Lord is looking for the upright in heart, that He might show Himself strong in your behalf. I'm going to ask Brother Roger to come up here and pray tonight. As Roger comes to pray, I feel a good spirit here. We could just go on worshiping the Lord probably for a long time tonight because I feel a good spirit. I've kept you quite a bit. I'm going to ask Him to come and pray with you. And while He prays, I want you, as I say so many times, to examine yourselves and see if you're in the faith. See if you're in the faith. For many are departing from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. So tonight, search out your heart. You need Jesus with you, folks. The day is getting darker and darker, and gross darkness is beginning to cover the people as to the intellectual reasoning of human constraint to put you under bondage of all kind of things. That's the darkness closing in on you. To enslave you, that's human reasoning as to human intellect, as to the darkness that is legislating all these powers. In all of these principles, more and more it's covering the people. So Brother Roger comes.